Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What was the difference, ultimately, in a game that came down to a single point?
That's the thing about these close games that, you know, end up 31-29, right? It could be anything. You could point to anything. You could point to a ref call. You could point to a Jonathan Grenard strip sack that bounced right back to Jared Goff. Well, if you get a different bounce there, maybe you recover that one and their field position and it's different. You know, if they get the two-point conversion at the end, a score on a scoop-and-score fumble to go up 29-28, they go for two because being up two is worth nothing, right? They don't get the two-point conversion. Once they do that, then it's tied at the end of regulation. We go to overtime. Be a totally different game. But I think that in those situations, you could say anything and probably be right, but it all kind of diminishes. You know, if everything decided the game, then nothing did. So I like to look at the thing that had the most impact on the Vikings, and that is there are holes in their coverage when they blitz that if you pick up the blitz, you're getting an explosive. And it kind of doesn't matter if you need to use eight players to pick up the blitz. You can do that. Leave everybody in protection, run a two-man route, and it's getting open because that coverage is so porous on the back end. And I think that's a bigger problem than a lot of Vikings fans are willing to admit right now. Brian Flores is going to have to really work to figure out. It's been a thorn in his side since last December.
When you think about these two teams, one had sky-high expectations coming into the season. One had very low expectations. So together on the field, if you use the Lions as a gauge for the Vikings, how would you evaluate the first 7 weeks of their season?
A million times better than I ever thought it was going to be. I mean, I went and talked to you and said, yeah, I'm happy if these guys win five at all, let alone the first five in a row. Look at what they were going in with. They were running in with old, you know, cornerbacks past their prime, a defense made of a bunch of nobodies. Sam Darnold was going to start the entire season. There was no chance of a rookie coming in and giving you a flash because then J.J. McCarthy got hurt. And it felt like it was going to be a transition year. And I was even all right with that. You know, if we're coming off the Kirk Cousins thing. He's got a $25 million dead cap hit. It was supposed to be a year where we're kind of transitioning out of Kirk and into the new thing. And yeah, I expected a lot more growing pains than I have seen so far. But you just rolled double sixes on everything that you tried. You had Sam Darnold working out great. Those corners have all made great plays all year long. Brian Flores' defense, is it going to be solved? Or is he going to come in with, you know, a couple new wrinkles that frustrate quarterbacks even more? Well, it's very much the latter. And until this game against the Lions played it great. So all these different things have all kind of come up Vikings, and sure enough, they're 5-1, but they're getting great play out of guys like Andrew Van Ginkle. You don't think about Andrew Van Ginkle. Nobody thought about him before this season, but now they are. He's got two pick sixes on the year. He's an edge rusher. So those kinds of performances have led this team to 5-1, but I'll tell you, this game against the Lions, it might be the first of three, and it felt like a playoff game. It felt like two really good teams with players that make plays throwing haymakers at each other, and the Lions got the last one, it didn't feel like one really good team and one sort of fake team. And, you know, the fake team was barely struggling to keep up, and maybe they made it a game off of some stupid stuff. It was two evenly matched teams, heavyweight fighters throwing right hooks.
We had the Vikings go up 10-0, and then 21 points in a row for the Lions, and then the swing backward for Minnesota as the Vikings take the lead, and it turns out to be a fumble recovery for a touchdown that puts them in front. And you mentioned the two-point conversion, but why such a roller coaster ride?
That's how it goes sometimes. It's the NFL. You get some crazy games, but you also have two hyper-aggressive coaches. I think for as long as Kevin O'Connell and Dan Campbell are in their seats, every Vikings-Lions game is going to be like this. And they all have been.
Nice.
They've all been buck wild. Because Dan Campbell, we know how aggressive he is on fourth downs and crazy decisions that he makes and what he did in the Cowboys game. He has no reverence for your traditions or your decorum. He is going to do what he is going to do, and he loves to sort of break that mold. And that's a big part of why the Lions are successful. O'Connell and Flores on the other side of the ball embrace an aggressive mentality. They're all about aggression, and they talk about it too. We want to stay aggressive. They're going to be up three scores throwing shot plays, and sometimes that lets the other team back in because you go three and out really fast. So you got these two very aggressive coaches. Most of the time, if one team takes a 10-point lead, they're going to start to try to calm the game down and start to shorten it and really try to, you know, maximize. If you get a lead in or even going in, you know, an 11-point lead on the other side, most teams are going to try to play a little bit more conservative, you know, just trade baskets for the rest of the game. Not these guys, no. So they are going to go for everything. They're going to continue to take risks, even to the point where the only way you lose is to take a risk. They're still going to do it because they're all insane, and we all benefit as fans. But the answer to that question is aggression.
Insider and podcast host Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings, and here with us after hours with Amy Lawrence in the wake of the Vikings' first loss of the season. So we're talking about this game as a potential gauge just to see where they are and how they measure up against one of the best in the conference. But how much staying power do they have now that we've seen them against the Lions?
Well, down to down, it looks like they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the league. I mean, they stopped up that Lions run game. That was the worst Lions rushing output that I think they've had so far this year from an efficiency standpoint. And most of their good efficiency is buoyed by like a couple of big runs. And the rest of it was pretty stopped up. So that, they did a good job against the Lions run game that has absolutely just torched everybody, just gashed everybody else. You know, they were able to move the ball on the Lions on a pretty celebrated Lions defense. They were able to generate explosives. Toe-to-toe is the phrase that keeps coming to mind. They looked like they could be evenly matched, but for one schematic problem, Ben Johnson having the cipher to translate the Flores defense and take the Flores defense away from the chaotic places it wants to be, and then just kind of hit the same concepts over and over and over because they just brought a whole bunch of beaters and cooked them. From a talent perspective, from a down-to-down perspective, like a neutral, you know, well, if the Lions played this team and then the Vikings played this team, they looked close enough. And that's kind of why I say, you know, this series might come down to a third matchup. And that might be the way that these two teams are remembered. It's going to be decided by that one, not this one.
What have you seen from Sam Darnold in being a part of their success early on?
I mean, it's been crucial that he has been a safer Sam Darnold, a more grown-up Sam Darnold. And I even talked with you about this last time that's supposed to be the deal, but I was very like, well, I'll believe that when I see it, right? Well, we've seen it, and now I believe it. The moment does get to him sometimes. He does kind of slide back into those over-aggressive habits. But hey, over-aggressive habits, look at who his coach is. We all love that here. So like, they're not even that mad about it. But sometimes you'll get those kind of Darnold-y turnovers. The way I would look at it is you're going to play a game against the Vikings. Darnold is probably good for two or three turnover-worthy plays. And you got to capitalize on those, right? Can't drop the picks. But he's good for like he's just going to throw you a dumb one. At some point in the game, you get that gift. That's something. But in return, he can make every throw at every level of the field. You have to defend every blade of grass. For probably three quarters of every game, he's been great about being on time and in rhythm. And he's aggressive. and he's very opportunistic. One of the best moments for him this year came against San Francisco, where he threw a back shoulder ball to Jalen Naylor that wasn't how that throw was supposed to go at all. I talked about it after the game. It was supposed to be this kind of rainbowy drop over the bucket if you were going to throw that route. But because of the way he saw the linebacker open up, he realized that it was going to be there, but only if he threw it fast and only if he placed it in that specific spot and only if he trusted his wide.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Receiver to make that. It was a very improv-y move, but it was opportunistic. He saw one defender make one little tiny mistake with his leverage and then said, I got it. Okay, I have this opportunity, and now I'm going to go do all these crazy things I need to do to seize it. That kind of mentality has made, you know, these games kind of snowball sometimes, like against the Texans and against the Packers before they clawed their way back in, where you make one little mistake, but you're already down 10 to nothing. Suddenly it feels like, you know, the avalanche is coming, and they've been able to really demoralize a couple teams that way. And that's Darnold doing a lot of that.
Is there enough work for Justin Jefferson to keep him happy? Is he getting used enough?
You know what? I bet he has been happy 5 times this year and not happy 1 time this year. For him, sometimes he will have to be a decoy. And if you have somebody like Jordan Addison or like TJ Hawkinson, whose return is imminent, to sort of be that next option that can do that. But the offense is very much still designed, and it should be designed, to go through Justin Jefferson. He's the best player, right? So it's a lot more of other guys setting him up and doing the best there. But, I mean, he has had relatively quiet days this season, and you're never going to hear of people, but Jefferson's not that kind of receiver where he cares a bunch about his targets and his stats. He wants to win. He's hyper-competitive, and he wants to make plays. But he's very much like about his teammates, too. He will gas you up. If he has 15 yards, but Jordan Addison has 102 touchdowns, he's going to be gassed. You're going to pick up Jordan Addison by his hips and lift him up like he's at the bow of the Titanic. He'll do that. So I don't think keeping Justin Jefferson happy is any bit of a concern. He's a goofball that loves to win games. You want to keep him happy? Stay in the win column.
From Locked On Vikings, Luke Braun with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. I personally love the addition of Aaron Jones. I feel like it's one of the most significant moves of this previous offseason. And I know he's been dealing with a hamstring, but how do you like the fit so far?
Yeah, so he has this like hamstring hip. I'll call it a stinger. It's not like a hamstring strain like you usually hear when it's a hamstring thing, which is a much scarier injury. This is like a deep, maybe even a bone bruise. But he's been working through that. Short week this week, so we'll see how everything plays out. But he played the full game this week, and he's been vital. I cannot describe enough how much he has changed things. Last couple of years, the Vikings offensive line has been blocking up the runs reasonably well enough, and there have been lanes. But guys like Alexander Mattison, you know, Dalvin Cook's corpse, Ty Chandler in some spots, Cam Akers in some spots, and just either haven't had the decisiveness or haven't had the physical burst to hit those holes. Aaron Jones has both of those. That's why he was so good in Green Bay for so long. He still has all of that. There's not like there was another thing. Hey, Aaron Jones is a little old. Has he lost a step? Nope. That one came up Vikings too. It's been a really important part of the Vikings' success has been his ability to, again, punish those small mistakes. And that's what truly separates good teams from great teams. You know, against a good team, you can mess up a little bit and they'll maybe get a play on you, but it won't be backbreaking. Against a great team, and this is, you know, what Aaron Jones can do, your corner just leaks a little bit too far inside and then suddenly he's bouncing that thing to the edge and the Vikings are scoring.
Luke, of the 4 teams in the NFC who have 5 wins, and right now that's the most in the conference, 3 of them reside in the NFC North, which, again, a huge surprise. What stands out about the division?
I mean, it's the way it is, right? This division could totally send 4 teams to the playoffs. Because I remember looking, who else is going to make it in the wild card, right? You've got, 3 and 4 49ers. They're in actually real trouble over there with the Seahawks, I believe, leading that one pretty handily. Who else is it going to be? The Cowboys? What's it going to be?
Don't!
So I could see whoever wins the North, the other three teams being the three wildcard teams, like could absolutely do that. But the other thing is the NFC North has barely played itself. Vikings have played a couple games, and I don't think any other NFC North matchups have happened. So they're all going to beat each other up here in November, and we're going to really see which ones rise. But what makes me feel good as a Vikings fan is that a lot of the hardest games that are shared are now in the rear view for the Vikings. Vikings have already played the 49ers. They've already played the Texans. You know, now they've played one against the Packers, one against the Lions. So a lot of their toughest games are in the rear view. They get to just run through the bad parts of the AFC South after this, and like then the Rams and like whatever's left of the Cardinals by November. It's going to feel a little bit better versus if you look at what the Bears have coming. Well, they have all those tough teams still left. So we'll see if they're able, you know, I think that there's a big test for the Bears when the schedule gets a little bit tougher. Like, they're going to have a big test. And the Vikings kind of have already passed theirs. But it's a long season. One of these four teams is going to fall away and not make the playoffs. Don't know who it is yet. Could be the Vikings. Could be the Bears. Could be someone surprising. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, everybody's answering their questions with the right answers.
The NFL season to date has featured a ton of these types of surprises, which is always fun, right? Like, that's the whole deal about the NFL
every year
being a reality show. So if there's one other thing that jumps out that's kind of caught you off guard, what is it?
Oh, it's the Commanders. Jaden Daniels. Look, I had Jaden Daniels at the top of my QB list. Some of us knew, but even I didn't think he was going to come in and be this electric this fast. There were still, you know, developmental things, but he is not only playing explosive ball like he did in college with, you know, big go balls and a lot of rushing prowess, but he's not relying on it. And the Commanders are playing together as a team. They just dunk on a terrible team like the Panthers. That's what you expect a good team to do. I'm very excited about what the Commanders are doing. And I'm sick of seeing it being, you know, Cowboys, Eagles with maybe a Giants wild card in there. That's been the case for the NFC East for a long time, so I'm excited to have some new blood.
As we wrap up, Vikings fans have been through a lot. They've had some years in which their team was close and yet haven't been able to break through. Often they are willing to bail fairly quickly and say, okay, that's it. That fool's gold, well, it's lost its shine. So what will it take to convince Vikings fans that this team is for real?
Well, so here's the thing, Amy. Vikings fans will tell you that they're bailing, but we'll see you all on Sunday. I don't believe any single one of you people. I'm done with this team. I'm going to go mow the lawn. I'm going to turn it off. Nah, you're back in 10 minutes. You can't turn it off. You can't look away what we have. So Vikings fans are here whether it's good or not. When the Vikings were 3-13, Vikings fans were still going to all the games, and they still all had their season tickets. That's the way it is. But to answer your question truly, to get the Vikings to believe, to be honest, I think if you aren't yet, you probably aren't going to. You probably are just one of those people that like can't let yourself believe in anything until the Vikings are literally holding up the Lombardi trophy, and even then you're worried it's going to get vacated. I think by beating the 49ers and Texans and Packers in succession, I mean, goodness, those were three of the top six teams in Super Bowl odds going into the season, and the Vikings swept through all of them. If that doesn't convince you that the Vikings are doing something, and I say that as somebody who, you know, Amy, I was not convinced headed in. I had to be convinced.
Right.
They had to show me something. But if that's not enough to show you, nothing is. And maybe that's just the kind of fan you are. And hey, there's no wrong way to be a football fan. You're valid. But I think you do have to ask yourself, what would it take if not that?
It's time to hop on board the Vikings bandwagon and follow the wild ride. And you can do it with Luke Braun at Luke Braun NFL. All the intel and the deets, the Locked On Vikings podcast. And I know that roller coaster of emotions is threaded all the way through. It's great to connect with you because it's going to be fun. Yeah, we're going to have to do this again as the Vikings navigate this strange new world. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you, Amy.